The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on July 8, 2001 in Mumbai, India.
Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha.
His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has presented an eloquent explanation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's true identity and the nature of his mercy, and how Srila Prabhupada was so dearly empowered by Lord Chaitanya to carry out the unique mission of spreading his love throughout the world. One time, Srila Prabhupada was taking a morning walk. In fact, I happened to be on one such walk. It was in New York City. The devotees took Srila Prabhupada to a park. It was winter at the time. There were many lakes and ponds in that park. There would be about 20 devotees allowed to come on the walks with him. They were gathered around him, very much eager to hear any words he would share. So he was speaking and preaching in so many ways. Whenever we came to a small lake or pond in that park, Prabhupada would walk right up to the water, which was covered by a sheet of ice due to the cold. Very attentively, with immense concentration, he would take his cane and poke the ice until it broke. Then we walked on, came to another lake or pond. Prabhupada was talking so many things. Then he would take his cane and break the ice. He did this perhaps 10 times in 10 different bodies of water. And everyone was wondering, why is Prabhupada so attentively breaking the ice of these little ponds? In my own heart, I was thinking like this. For the past 30 years, I've been thinking like this. But no one on this morning walk had the courage to ask Srila Prabhupada, why do you keep breaking ice? However, recently, there was a wonderful festival, Ratha Yatra in New York City. Devotees from all over the world come to celebrate a Ratha Yatra that Srila Prabhupada considered so very, very important. Because when he came to New York City from Jaladuta cargo ship, he lived in the ghetto of Bowery. No followers, no supporters, no friends, no one to help him. He was old, had just endured several heart attacks. It seemed hopeless that at his age, with the lack of facility and support he had, that he could possibly fulfill his Guru Maharaj's instruction to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings of divine love throughout the entire world in the English language. We know the story that Srila Prabhupada at one time met a half-crazy person who was interested in the philosophy and offered him to live in his studio apartment in a high building in New York. And Prabhupada was so thrilled that now we actually have a center, the first center of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in America. He wrote to his godbrothers, now we actually have a center. But one day that person, under the influence of an intoxicating hallucinogenic drug called LSD, became so crazy that he thought Prabhupada stole his soap and threatened to kill Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada left and he was on the street with nothing and no one. And a few people that would meet him at different cafes and street side restaurants that he would preach at, they were sympathetic. So they helped by finding one very small storefront on 2nd Avenue. Said, we can pay the first month's rent, but after that, we don't know if we can help you anymore. That was in 1966. Exactly 10 years later, in 1976, there were thousands of devotees who had surrendered their lives to Srila Prabhupada. There were tens and millions of books translated all over the world that had been distributed. And in the most important street, Fifth Avenue, of the most important city in the Western world, New York, there were the three chariots of Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath. The New York Police Department closed the street of Fifth Avenue for the exclusive glorification of Lord Jagannath. Thousands of devotees loudly chanting the holy names, playing mridangas, karatals. Srila Prabhupada was riding on the chariot of Subhadra Devi. What a great victory. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would often say that the motto of the Gaudiya Math is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be victory to the congregational chanting of the holy names of the This festival of Rath Yatra in New York City on Fifth Avenue has taken place every year since then. It's a very emotional experience for devotees who witness the struggle of Srila Prabhupada establishing this international society for Krishna consciousness. And every year, the day after Rath Yatra, on Sunday, there is a festival at Tompkins Square Park and then at 26 2nd Avenue. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when he really had no one to help him except hardly one or two people who were very untrained and uncultured in bhakti, they would go to Tompkins Square Park and Prabhupada would just sit. He didn't even have karatals. He didn't even have a mridanga. He just had a little Western drum called a bongo that somebody donated. And Prabhupada would play that little drum and chant Hare Krishna. And people would come and chant with him. Sometimes educated people, sometimes prostitutes, drug addicts, drunkards, hippies, working class. They would gather around and see this very transcendental person just sitting on the ground under a tree chanting Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada would get up and explain the teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our Sampradaya. He would speak under different trees, just like the six Goswamis would sleep under different trees every night. Prabhupada would preach under different trees in New York City. But there's one particular tree that Srila Prabhupada often preached under. And there happened to be a very famous newspaper article with Srila Prabhupada standing under that tree giving a lecture on the holy name. So devotees from all over the world came together to sit under that tree in Tompkins Square Park, remembering Srila Prabhupada. And one particular devotee told a story that answered my curious question of 30 years. Shall I tell? He explained how in Europe it was winter, and Srila Prabhupada was taking morning walk with about 20 devotees or so. They went to a very beautiful park, and Prabhupada was walking, sometimes speaking, sometimes chanting japa. But whenever he saw a pond or a lake of water, and there were many in this park, he would walk right up to the water and very deliberately, with concentration, he would take his cane and break the ice. Then they walked on, and Prabhupada was leading the walking. They came to another small pond of water. Prabhupada broke the ice about a dozen times. One, fearless, and it may be interpreted, foolish devotee, very loudly inquired from Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, why do you break the ice every time you come to a pond of water?" Srila Prabhupada, in his compassionate mood of love, answered his question. He said that the nature of every living being is to love Krishna. The nature of the heart that loves Krishna is it is very soft like liquid. But due to the influence of illusion, the soft heart has become hard and cold like ice. It is my mission to break that illusion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vasudev Ghosh is praying. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Vasu Ghosh's heart? The cane in which Srila Prabhupada used to break the icy illusion that is the source of all suffering and confusion in this world was the holy name of Krishna. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranvata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, except the chanting of Harinam. It was in Tompkins Square Park. It was in Hippie Hill of Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. It was in Cross Maidan of Bombay that Srila Prabhupada transformed people's hearts by convincing them of the absolute urgency of taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. Because Krishna is absolutely non-different than his name. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a murti of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in the form of transcendental sound. And our great acharyas taught that it is only by offenselessly chanting the holy names that this cold, hard, icy heart will melt. Anandam buddhivaradhanam pratipadam punamratasvadam. And then the liquid ras of divine love will again be realized within our own hearts. Srila Prabhupada, through his books, through his lectures, through his life, wanted to teach us the necessity of having complete faith in the holy names of Krishna and complete faith in the association of devotees who embody the principle of faith in the holy name of Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote many letters to his disciples, emphasizing the need of having complete faith that it is only through a Harinam that we can melt this stone-like heart. In this age of Kali Yuga, if we sincerely chant, gradually we will realize how Krishna is not different than his name. Through the name of Krishna, we gradually realize and have direct experience and realization of the form of Krishna. Then the qualities of Krishna, attributes of Krishna. We realize our identity as an associate of Krishna. And gradually, through the chanting of the holy name, the name reveals the eternal pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. And factually, until our chanting is offenseless, and the name himself reveals the leelas of the spiritual world, we cannot really understand the pastimes of the Lord. It is theoretical. The purpose of reading the holy scriptures, the purpose of serving the Vaishnavas, is ultimately to prepare our consciousness in such a way that with great faith we can offenselessly chant the holy names. In order to develop that pure enthusiasm for chanting, it is essential that we must associate with devotees, especially sincere devotees striving for perfection. And it is essential that we serve these devotees. And we must regularly hear the glories of the Lord from authorized sources. This lifestyle, based on the highest principles of spiritual morality, the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, will attract Krishna to be pleased to reveal himself through the holy names. Therefore, we take a vow to chant our japa with enthusiasm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to one devotee who was complaining that as I'm chanting, so many other thoughts come to my mind and it's distract its attention away from Krishna in his name. It's very discouraging. Do any of you have this problem? If so, listen carefully to Srila Saraswati Thakur's instruction. He said that we can gradually conquer the inattentiveness of the mind, which is distracted by the temporary illusions of this world, by chanting our japa and kirtan with great enthusiasm. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "What if I don't have enthusiasm?" He said, "Then you're dead, you're animal. Enthusiasm is in your heart. The question is whether you use it or not. It is the gesture of our free will to please Krishna, to be enthusiastic when we're worshiping him. And the altar of our heart through the chanting of the holy names. So we must be enthusiastic." And then he explained that when you're chanting japa, fingering your tulsi beads, you should be praying in a mood for the mercy of the Lord. And as you're fingering your beads, you should be thinking that you are directly touching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of tulsi. And you must live by the principle, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Do not be deluded by the hog stool in the form of prestige of this material world. Hogs eat stool. That's their favorite preparation. And then when they pass stool, it's just stool that's further been concentrated into a further stage of stool. Therefore, it's considered abominable. It's perhaps the most abominable ingredient that we could think of. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't use the word hog stool. He used boar stool, because at least hogs are domestic. But boars are wild, uncivilized hogs. They're even the lowest caste amongst hogs. So the desire for pratishta, prestige, adoration, glorification, the desire to feel oneself very important and make sure everybody else understands this truth, is compared to the stool of a boar. It's abominable. But yet, birth after birth after birth, to taste the juices of this boar stool, we have given up our eternal loving relationship with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's not so amazing. What's more amazing is we're still doing it. We have the association of devotees. We have Krishna's prasad, which you're all waiting for. We have Sadhu Sangam, Harinam, Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful murtis of the Lord. But still, we're making aparads. We're competing with others because of our addiction to this boar stool. Therefore, this verse is of prime importance. Be humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like a tree. When adversity comes into our life, we should welcome as it an opportunity to become purified. We should be students of bhakti at every moment. And we should try to really understand what Krishna is trying to teach us at every moment to help us deepen our humility and devotion. And ultimately, our urgency to take utter shelter of the mercy of Guru Vaishnavas and Krishna in his name. Amani namanandena. We should offer all respect and honors to other, and we should not look forward to it coming for ourselves. In this state of consciousness, without offense, we could chant the holy names. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, in a material sense, he appeared to be an old man who required a cane of wood for him to walk forward. Actually, the real cane that supported Srila Prabhupada in his traveling around the world 13 times was the cane of his complete faith, that by simply chanting Hare Krishna properly, anyone and everyone will get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by that mercy, anyone and everyone can get that most priceless treasure that is prayed for by Brahma, Vishnu, and even Lakshmi herself, as Maharaj has explained. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Rupa Goswami revealed the essence of Mahaprabhu's mission, to give love of God through Harinam Sankirtan. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as Maharaj explained, he organized the seed of world preaching through what he called Namhata, the marketplace of the holy names. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur emulated the essence of that principle and created Gaudiya Math, in which he declared again and again and again, the banner of the Gaudiya Math is this verse, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be all victory to the chanting of the holy names. And as His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj explained, Prabhupada took that essence and established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he called it the Hare Krishna Movement. The basis of this movement, Prabhupada explained, is to learn the science of chanting Harinam. So everything can be revealed in its pure, true form through the holy name alone in this age of Kali. Therefore, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, taught us everything perfectly according to the authority of our parampara. He taught us perfect science of how to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Be enthusiastic. Serve the Vaishnavas. Be eager to hear the message of Vasudeva. Remain faithful to the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and chant Hare Krishna. And then we will understand the sweet mood of Vasugosh. If Lord Gaura had not appeared as the Yuga Avatar in the age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of loving mellows that comprise the glory of Sri Radha? It is Srila Prabhupada's most earnest and loving appeal to each of us to assist him in his mission of breaking the ice in the pond of the heart of every living being in every town and village by inspiring them through our example and how to live together with great faith in the chanting of the holy name. A very special associate of Srila Prabhupada who has so kindly come. Haridas Prabhu was very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada loved him like a very dear son. We're so very grateful for his friendship and his kindness. Please welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Haridas Prabhu is broadcasting the glories of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, literally to practically every town and village in the world. Do you know there was a scientific study done, and a statistic came from that study, that whenever international TV comes into a country, within a matter of 1 or 2 years, the murder rate of that country increases 15 times. This is statistic of how grossly contaminated television is and how it's polluting nations all over the world. I'm amazed. I've taken trains and driven by these very dilapidated ghetto areas where people are living in these little shacks made out of flattened out vanaspati cans or some straw and bamboo, but yet there's satellite dishes on their roofs. They have practically no utensils in the house except a couple pots, a spoon, and a television. So this television is really the way that Maya is spreading her influence and keeping the world her captive audience. However, Haridas Prabhu and, of course, Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj through his Abhay Charan television series, these two personalities especially that are with us today, they are, as Prabhupada explained, taking a thorn to take out a thorn. When you're in the forest and a thorn is in your foot, there's no Bhaktivedanta hospital in the forest. But you don't need it. You just find another thorn, just like the first thorn, and use that to remove. So similarly, we could use the technologies of the West to broadcast the holy name and thus counteract the effect of that very technology. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj has glorified Srila Prabhupada's life practically every continent of the world on television to millions, millions, millions of people. Haridas Prabhu, he has this wonderful series where he has sincere, humble, and learned devotees preaching to an audience that covers an area where there's over 1 billion potential viewers. I remember a couple years ago we went to Nasik and we were at the confluence of the Kapila and Godavari rivers flow. It's a place called Tapovan, very secluded place. And there's one Babaji sitting under a tree, and he happened to see Gauranga Prabhu. And he said, "Oh, I have seen him on TV." This is the glory of Haridas Prabhu's service. Thank you very much.